Now, on UK Health Radio, treat yourself to an upgrade. Pack away your low self-esteem. Leave behind that empty feeling. Stow your fears and doubts in the overhead locker. And go from stress to authentic success with Danielle Sachs.
Hello to you, dear you. Welcome to another show from Stress to Authentic Success. I'm your host, Danielle Sachs, and another week, another show, another subject. And today I'm actually quite excited to have a true stress management and burnout expert. His name is Matt Adams. Now, Matt is a stress management and burnout expert because he really experienced firsthand stress and burnout at the age already of 24. He managed two real estate sales offices, and at 27, he suffered a severe panic attack that altered the whole course of his life. He's not just an expert. He's a trainer, speaker, and coach. And Matt is one of these people which after the hit, after the crisis, during a 10-month self-rehabilitation, he found and created various stress and anxiety reduction techniques that can help you and I to eliminate any form of anxiety, heart palpitations, lightning shock feelings, whatever it is. So he has more than 50 techniques and strategies now for reducing or eliminating stress, burnout, and anxiety. And that is what he teaches to individuals like you and me, to organizations during courses, coaching, and keynote presentations. So as you can hear, he knows what he's talking about. He has experienced it. And I always say there's nothing more important than to listen to the story and the experience of people who've gone through this, because that's where the secret lies. They have lived it, experienced it. And it's often so interesting and so reflecting to us on where we are in our life and how we can tackle this and how we can use all these strategies, tools, stories into our own life. And he's even Matt is even a Amazon number one bestseller with his book, Activate Your Life, Volume 3, that he is participating in. And he's also the founder and the president of the International Work Stress Institute. Now, I am sure that we are going to have an amazing conversation, because stress, burnout, and anxiety, I do believe that these are certainly in the top 10 lately in the last decade of feelings and symptoms and diseases that you and I have heard all the time. It is everywhere where you open your ears, you hear about people who have experienced a burnout, who have experienced anxiety disorders or panic attacks. And so this is an important conversation, and I really look forward to our, to the story, to the tips, to the insights that he can give us. So beside of that, please, don't hesitate to share this show, to share this platform, UK Health Radio or the UK Health Radio podcast, with all your loved ones, because we all know people in our environment who are suffering, who need stress management strategies and tips. So listen in, and if you like it, share it as much as you can. I'm going to talk to Matt Adams just now after this little break.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to everyone, and I am talking today, as I said in the intro, to an amazing expert in burnout and stress. Welcome, Matt.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
I'm actually quite curious because, as you said, you are Australian, but you are living in France. So can you give a little intro to us of where your life has taken you? Because I believe when I read your bio that you've gone through quite some stress, hey?
Well, I guess you could say that almost the reason I'm in Europe and living in Europe now is because of stress. Because, I guess so. Stress and burnout really put me on a different path in life. When I was at university, for example, in the last 6 months of university, I got into reading personal development books. So, Anthony Robbins and all the business books and sales and marketing and all those sorts of things. And so that really kind of got me fired up about sort of achieving. And so then from going, so I finished university. I did an IT degree. I went out and got in the IT industry. And then age 22, I hated sitting behind a desk 9 to 5. It was just like, no, it just didn't work. But also, as I said, at the time, I was reading all the personal development books, and one book in particular, Robert Kiyosaki's Rich Dad Poor Dad. So there's a one of his a quote that really stood out for me at the time was, if you want to own your own business one day, you need to learn how to sell. So by the end of my first year of in IT, I was offered a redundancy or like a severance package along with two other people that day. And let's just say I was the only one that walked out with a smile on my face, because I was like, okay, now I can really get into sales. So about a month, probably 2 months later, I went and got into real estate, and that's when everything sort of really kind of started for me, in a sense. I was sort of able to apply myself and apply everything I was learning from the books and everything. And so, I mean, initially I kind of sucked at real estate because I thought everyone just, oh, if they want something, they just buy it. But no, it all has to be sold, and they need to be convinced and everything. So, the first 2 months weren't that fun, but after that, I got the hang of it. And then after that, did quite well. So by month number 10, I was promoted to the position of a senior salesperson, and then 2 months after that, I was promoted to the position of sales manager of one of the offices that we used to work for, the agency I used to work for. And then 4 months after that, I was promoted to sales manager of the second office. They only had two offices.
So the career really went, wow, boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, it was amazing. And so I'm there
With the
like,
pressure with it, probably.
oh yeah. So it was really interesting, actually. To I mean, everything with the benefit of hindsight, I can see how it all unfolded or was unfolding before the stress and burnout actually hit. But when I was in the middle of it, I had absolutely no idea. So it wasn't until the second year. So literally, so I'm 24. The sales manager of two real estate sales offices, managing two sales teams. Everyone was basically that I was managing was twice my age. I bought my first house. I bought my first, a brand new car. So I'm like, ah, this is working. It's all working. This is amazing. And then, but literally by the second year, sort of after around the first quarter, April, I remember it was April, all the symptoms then started, the stress and burnout
Of course.
symptoms. So that's when it started to go downhill.
And
But
what were the first symptoms?
I had three main ones. Number one was I started to get face pimples, and I was like, okay, well, I'm not 14 anymore, so this is really weird. My libido dropped massively, and also just sort of general tiredness and fatigue.
Quite typical that.
But being 24, being male, being me, being everything, I just basically, I now I did I wasn't completely just ignorant. I did try and analyze. I was like, what's going on? Have I changed my diet? No, I'm not eating extra sugar, or nothing's really changed. I could not put my finger on it. And so what else do you do? Well, I kept going. And so I was basically, again, with the benefit of hindsight, I now realized that I was running on adrenaline.
Yes, I was just gonna say.
So, we know the fight, we're all in relation to stress and burnout, the fight or flight or freeze. So, I was running on adrenaline, and it was like up, 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 going up. And then I just hit a point. I was able to push for another 3 months, and then the crash came. So, That was the.
And are you grateful for that crash when you look at it now?
Oh, of course.
Isn't it amazing how afterwards you realize that that's the turning point? Now, tell us a little bit about that turning point. What happened then?
So first of all, in response to what you just said, absolutely. Stress was the best and the worst thing that ever happened to me. And or I should say stress and burnout. And I'm going to add actually anxiety to the list because that came next. So that's actually kind of part two. So, eternally grateful. And as I said, that's kind of why and where that's sort of why I'm the person I am today and where I am in life and literally geographically in Europe and everything. So how it all sort of unfolded. So I literally woke up after one morning and I just had the thought or feeling that I don't want to go to work today. And that was really, really strange because I loved what I was doing at the time. And as I said, everything was working and I was achieving everything. But I woke up and so I was like, okay, that's really strange, but okay, I can work with that. So I actually called in to the office and I had a sick day. So that was fine. The next day was Wednesday, and that was my normal one day off a week. So obviously real estate, you work weekends, but I had Wednesday off. So that was fine. Then Thursday morning comes and I had the thought again, I don't feel like going to work today. I was like, okay, something's not right here. I still didn't know what it was, but I just knew something wasn't right. So I called the owner of the agency and I said, can we meet? And long story short, we had a meeting that day. I said, I need some time off. He initially agreed. And short version, within 24 hours, he called me and we had a bit of a, let's say, a disagreement. And I just pulled the plug basically because I knew I couldn't get going. I was just completely over it. I tried to be decent about it. I said, please give me some time off, give me some space. He was not decent about it, in my opinion. And
What,
so
how
I
long is
unplugged.
that ago? Because if you would do that today, because there's much more thing about burnout and everything, how long is that ago? What you're talking about now when you were
So that, well, the
24?
year, so that would have been 2002. So,
2002. So, which is quite typical, hey? 20 years ago, one, the doctors, the society wasn't really burnout minded, let's say, stress minded. It's only in, and certainly not mental health minded. So it's only in that last 10, 15 years that it's actually really growing now. So can you fast forward a little bit on how you what was your worst moment actually? Let's just see what that was. What was your worst in short version?
Great question. So I had two worst moments. I actually divide my stress and burnout and anxiety into two stages. So what I just explained so far has been is the stage one. Now, after I resigned for the next 3 years, so I initially thought, oh, the weight's got the weight lifted off my shoulders. I'm fine. No more stress. No more burnout. Whatever. And I didn't even know it was burnout. I would that word didn't kind of exist back then for that. I knew what stress was, but being 24, I sort of wasn't admitting to that. So the big hit though came 3 years later at age 27. I applied for a job with one of Australia's largest real estate websites, and so that was, I remember it very clearly. It was a Monday. And they said, great, Matt, we're interviewing other people. We'll get back to you later in the week. So sure enough, so that was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday came. Thursday morning, I'm driving my car along a very busy road on the Brisbane River. And I just happened to take a phone call from a friend. And literally within 2 to 3 seconds of taking that phone call, my heart started just pounding like crazy. Like I thought I was having a heart attack. So I'm in the middle lane of like three lanes one direction, three lanes the other. I'm in the middle, could not pull over, steering wheel in one hand, phone in the other hand, and my heart's just absolutely pounding, pounding, pounding. And my immediate reaction was just to start gasping for breath. I was like, and so I
I
sort of
know.
pushed,
When you say I can only say to anyone listening, that is how you feel, as if you're going to die, as if you're going to have a heart attack. I can agree that I had, I think, 20, 25 panic attacks. So I so thank you for saying that because I so what happened? What, just in a short version, what happened?
Well, it's kind of is there a short version? So I'll fast forward. So after that, so I got offered the job that afternoon. Okay. I accepted it, but in my head, I'm thinking, how the hell am I going to do this? So long story
So you're
short.
no, just look, that's just because I think it's important for anyone listening who is in that situation. Your intuition, Matt, your intuition is actually telling you don't do this. Because, and your body, your mind, your intuition, your gut feeling is actually warning you this is too soon. Because I just want to say that, and you can please tell me if you agree on this or if you have another opinion on this, but often the burnout, the problem only starts when we stop. And so once you try to go again in that pressure kind of modus, that's when you realize you can't do it. Is that what happened?
Yeah, I think there's a part of that, definitely. I guess I would call it a si yeah
The
intuition,
signal,
six 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 sixth sense,
sense, yes.
something along those lines. So message from the universe, whatever you want to call it, there's
True.
definitely some higher stuff happening,
Yes.
subconscious mind. Yeah,
Yes.
absolutely. Completely agree with that. Yeah. So fast forward, so I ended up taking the job. I was due to fly to Melbourne for a training the next Monday. And long story short, that weekend before then, so I accepted the job on the Thursday, went into the office briefly to meet everyone. And then on the Saturday, I'm really freaking out. I was like, how the hell am I going to go and be sort of, let's say, in my mind, at
Yes.
least, trapped in this training room all week with sort of not being able to get out in the fresh air, especially after this big panic attack I've just had. So I ended up calling my mum, literally crying and telling her what happened 3 days prior with the panic attack, and that I'd been offered this job now and I was due to fly to Melbourne literally tomorrow to go. And she was really supportive and just said, look, if this is how you're feeling, don't take the job. So would you believe it was not an easy phone call, but 2 p.m. on that Sunday, I called this manager back that hired me. And I said, I had flights booked, accommodation booked, and I said, I just sort of made up an excuse that and that was it. So I resigned from the job that I didn't even start. But look, that was all the easy part. You asked what was the most difficult part? The most difficult part was the next 4 months after this panic attack. So to give you an example of the after effects, it was like a bit of like an earthquake, and then the tremors, the 4 months
Yes.
of tremors. So
Yes.
literally on a daily basis, I was experiencing up to 100 heart palpitations a day. Like a good day was around a dozen, and then a bad day was around 100, maybe more. And I was also experiencing lightning shock sensations or feelings or sensations in my heart.
Yes.
I ended up, would you believe, after that phone call from with and the chat with my mum, 3 days later, I was sorry, 4 days later, I was working in a factory making ladders. I received the most random of phone calls from a company, a recruitment agency that I put my resume in a year prior. And they said, called me and said, Matt, I'm not sure you're going to be interested in this job. It's a manual labor job, but just thought I'd try. It was like, this is another message from the universe. It just was perfect sort of synchronicity, if you like. And they offered me the job. She said, no interview, no nothing. You just turn up tomorrow. So, I went from this,
Hi.
amazing job offer. And then 5, 6, 7 days later, I'm working in a factory, literally making ladders. Now, even though, so it was great on one hand because I was able to do the physical work, but not have any stress on my
Yes,
mind,
I agree.
which then allowed me to work on myself to sort of fix myself. So I call it my
Yes.
sort of self-rehabilitation.
Yes.
So now, as I said, this 4 months was like hell, completely the worst 4 months of my life. So in addition to all the heart palpitations, I literally could only work 4 days a week. I would call in sick at least one day a week because I would wake up with the thought or feeling, if I go to work today, I will die. That's how weak I was feeling. And so I was almost fired. I managed to sort of talk my way out of it, luckily. But so as I was suffering, I thought I've got to take control here. So out of that,
So
again, this.
you need you, I just want to say that to anyone out there that there's a moment, I agree totally, and I have it with so many clients as well. There's a moment when you realize I need to take control. That's what you're saying now. I need to regain ownership of because it's like a panic attack, the anxiety, the stress, the burnout. It's like the feeling of being out of control. Hey, it's like
absolutely.
I don't have control anymore over my body, over my mind, over my emotions. So I so appreciate you saying that, that it's all about regaining control. Now, can we just move a little bit fast forward to see who, because you have become today an expert on stress management and burnout. So everything that you've lived, Matt, let's be honest, has taken you to who you are today. Can you explain a little bit on two or three steps that you took that that brought you here? What kind of, it was it therapy? Was it strategies, techniques? Can you just say a little bit, what has saved you? What has made you the person who you are today? I'm really, really, you know, excited to hear that.
Mm. So it's a little bit of everything. It's a little bit like, you know, so how did I suffer stress and burnout? So it wasn't any one thing, I would say. I experienced the cumulative effect in a negative sense.
Yes.
So therefore to sort of heal myself, I use the cumulative effect in a positive sense.
Thank you. I agree with that.
So there's also, I can give you some general ideas. So by the way, with everything I did, during the, as low as I felt and all those symptoms I was experiencing, I never took one pharmaceutical drug, never went to one doctor, never went to one therapist, counselor, none, nothing. I literally figured it all out, which is why, sort of coming into answering your question, I now have a tool belt. So through that pain and suffering, I developed a tool belt of probably around 100 strategies, techniques, activities, and exercises to prevent, manage, and or recover from stress, burnout, and anxiety.
Wow.
So this
well
is
done.
Where...
Congrats.
Yeah,
because,
thank you.
It's just... But as I said, you and I had the same. I got sick 25 years ago. There were not a lot of strategies and tools out there when you compare it to today. Is there any... I believe you've got one amazing strategy that you want to talk about or technique that you want to talk about. Hey, what just explain to anyone listening who is experiencing burnout or being stuck or having anxiety or any, just explain to us, what is that specific technique?
Yeah. So this technique, just a little bit of a background on it, because this technique literally changed my life. So at the end of that 4-month period of hell that I explained, I happened to be in a secondhand bookstore and looking for more personal development books. And I happened to buy about 4 or 5 that day. And within one of these books was this particular technique. And here is the power of it. So as I already explained what happened during that 4 months, but after implementing this technique, literally within 24 hours, everything changed. And after, so I've given you the before picture. Mm-hmm. Here's the after picture. I reduced the heart palpitations to almost zero. I completely eliminated the lightning shock sensations in my heart. I only took one day off work over the next 7 months.
Okay.
And I was able to rebuild my sort of physical and mental strength to the point where I could return to full-time work in my sort of field of expertise.
Okay.
So that was over the next 7 months. So the technique is called the 22x11 technique.
22 times 11 technique. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So how it works is this. You take your existing negative belief or thought or whatever. So let's say for me at that time, it was something along the lines of, you know, work is stressful. Let's say, for example, that was the underlying belief because of all my experiences. And it could have been, it could have been any version of that little statement. So you take the negative belief and then you come up with a statement that is completely opposite to that. So if obviously work is difficult or work is stressful. So therefore the opposite of that is work is, one of the best ones that worked for me was work is fun and easy.
Okay.
Right. So then what you do, you take that statement. You get a piece of pen and paper, has to be done on pen and paper, not even typing it out. And you write down, number one, work is fun and easy. And then, immediately under, as soon as you write that and then say it out loud, your mind will come up with a response to that. So your subconscious mind.
Yes.
So let's say work is fun and easy, and your mind could come back with a response, no, it's not. So you underneath you write, no, it's not. And then you write number two, work is fun and easy. You say it out loud, and then again, your mind will come up with another response. It could be, oh, that's, you know, that's BS. That's BS. You write that down. Number three, work is fun and easy. So that's where the 22 comes into it. So of the 22 by 11, so times 11.
So you do that,
you do 22
times.
So 22 times is a statement, and then you'll have 22 answers. And then where the 11 comes into it, you do that every day for 11 days straight. And if you skip a day, you start the whole process over again. Now, why 22? Why 11? I have no idea. Don't mess with the system.
No.
So,
don't
yeah,
mess
so
with what works.
Exactly. So, and as I said, that explaining that before and after picture, this was how powerful that technique would literally change my life. And I can probably almost say saved my life, that technique. It was absolutely incredible. That's just one. I either came across it a lot more, or I also, you know, started making up my own as I started to sort of become more aware of my thoughts and feelings as I was going through this process. And because, you know, this is another word that's around these days that wasn't back then, mindfulness.
Yes.
You know, I would have called it self-awareness, you know, which is still a term, but everyone loves the word mindfulness. So it's really about mindfulness and self-awareness, because once you can increase that self-awareness, and then you can really understand why you're feeling, why you're thinking what you're thinking, why you're feeling what you're feeling. And then you can start to really either undo whatever you've done, whether it's stress, burnout, anxiety, and or create what you want to create in the future, as opposed to just sort of being on, let's say, autopilot.
Yes.
And when I say autopilot, I'm talking about basically we're all conditioned from,
yes,
you know,
I
through
agree.
Our childhood, from our parents, from our literally the country we live in, the society and the culture as a whole. We're conditioned by everything. And that's not a bad thing necessarily. There's all, like everything in life is a double-edged sword. So there's pros and cons, but obviously evolving as an individual, generally speaking, involves removing the negatives or the unwanted parts, and then installing and or creating or moving towards your more desirable thoughts, feelings, behaviors, and experiences. So.
I agree, Matt. I have to say that self-awareness is one of these things that 99% of people don't even think consciously, you know, because we, as you know, the subconscious mind is so powerful. And I think it's Joe Dispenza who says 90% of our thoughts of today are the same as yesterday. And I saw a quote, and it actually is a little bit with what you're saying. This week, and I said it to my clients in a mail, I send it because I think it's so important. We don't learn from what we do. We learn from how we reflect on what we do and what happens. And that's a little bit what you're illustrating here, that self-awareness on what am I thinking? What am I doing? What am I? People, we're not conditioned to think like that. We are so on, as you say, on autopilot. So thank you for saying that. So if you would give an advice, because time goes quickly here, if you would give one advice to someone listening now, recognizing the panic attacks, the anxiety, the stress, the being in a situation like you, what would you say to that person?
That's a very tough question to answer. There's so many things.
But is there one statement or quote or thing that you live by that you could say that is important to mention?
I could answer you one way today and another way tomorrow. But
yeah, I know.
I would probably say, probably extending on what I've already said, which is, start paying attention to your thoughts and feelings. And that's not an exciting statement, and it's not going to be quoted anywhere, but just start paying attention.
It's really important because people don't do it, Matt. Isn't that what you, I mean, you are a coach and a, you know, trainer, an expert. Isn't that what do you do with your clients? Isn't that what you do with your clients to make them pay more attention on what's going on in their head and their body? Isn't that our task?
It is. But the thing is, here's the catch, as we're all human, so it's easier not to do it
Of
than it
course.
is to do it. So that's what we're really up against. We're up against easiness
I
as
agree.
humans. So.
And even with your technique that you mentioned, the 20 times 11, I was going to say, when you were talking about it, I was going to say, gee, that takes a lot of discipline. As you say, you need to do it 11 days in a row. It takes discipline to do that.
It can take discipline, but what the other thing it can take is pain. So if you're in enough pain, discipline isn't even required because you just want to get out of the pain. So discipline can be your master, as can pleasure. So it really depends on your pain level or the pleasure level. So if you're feeling great and life's amazing and everything's clicking, well, the probability, that's where you need discipline
I agree.
because you don't need to do it. However, if you're really suffering and you're in one of what I call a trough in your life, then pain can be the best thing for you because it's actually going to kick you in the butt. And 11 days, if you think about 11
Is
days
nothing.
in the grand scheme of 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years, what's 11 days? And
True.
let's say you had to do that once a year. It's like, what's the difference? I mean, some people do a 30-day detox once a year or a 14-day physical food detox or whatever. So I try to think about put everything in perspective of go, how big is this in the grand scheme of things in a lifetime? What's 11 days if it means shifting a belief that's really creating or causing pain in my life that can therefore get me out of that pain or suffering? So
But you have done it alone, which I really admire, because isn't it true, Matt, that people don't have to do this alone? They can ask you for help. I mean, isn't that what we're here for? To bring people from stress to whatever authentic success, or to a new life, to a better life, to, but isn't it easier to do it with someone's help?
Absolutely. So generally what I've found with things, if you whatever your so we all have expertise in different areas and strengths and weaknesses. So generally speaking, if you're like an 8 or a 9 out of 10 at something, you don't need help. You don't need support. You need support when you're, let's say, below 8 out of 10 out of something. So let's say if mindfulness and self-awareness and or health and or mindset is, if you're less than 8 out of 10 expertise or just knowledge or discipline, that's where you're going to need support. And there's no harm in that. Reaching out for support is one of the best things. So actually you asked me about a quote before. I would now I'm sort of as I'm speaking, I'm thinking of something. It would be recognize and accept and the fact that if you can say to yourself, I'm not good at this, and whatever this is, it
It's
could be, it could be in your career, it could be in your relationship, it could be whatever area of life. But if we're talking about stress, burnout, and anxiety, if you're not good at this, and if you can reach that, what I call an admission point, and just say, I'm not good at this, I'm going to go and get support, I'm going to get the help I need, and that's okay. It's okay to get help because if you're a 9 out of 10 in other areas, people can and probably are coming to you for advice and expertise, and you can easily answer them. So it's nothing for you to do that, and you probably get a good buzz out of helping them because you have that knowledge and expertise. So that is like what it is for me, because I'm probably a 9, 9.5, or maybe more out of 10 in this area. So for me to help other people in that area, it gives me a buzz as well because this is kind of my strength, and it's a cultivated strength. It didn't just miraculously, come out of thin air. So it's been cultivated over, a number
20
of
years.
years, yeah, 20 years, and there's been a lot of pain and suffering to sort of get to the point.
I
But
agree.
yeah, it definitely gives me a buzz to do that. But in terms of as an individual, if you can reach that admission point saying, yep, oh, this isn't my expertise, and that's okay. So therefore, I'm going to get help because if you anywhere, if you're kind of in that no man's land, that's where you start reaching out for, let's say, what I would say, unsustainable vices. That's where you, if you're in no man's land where you're not prepared to reach out for help, but you're sitting in the suffering and you're in the soup of suffering, that's where you start to reach out for alcohol. That's where you're starting to reach out for medication. Now, by the way, medication, I'm not sort of anti-medication. If you need that in the short term to use it, what I call as a bridge, And I'm now actually now just thinking of one of my quotes. But anyway, if you have to use certain things as a bridge to get to the next stage, that's okay. If it's an unsustainable vice like alcohol, drugs, or whatever. But as long as you're sort of moving forward, like walking over the bridge, you've got to cross that bridge to get to the other side. And that's the key. So my advice, overriding advice, would be to keep moving forward. Don't be afraid to ask for help. In fact, recognizing that that's actually the fast track to get out of the pain. And more importantly, it's actually sustainable. So it's working towards sustainable health activities. And so one of the ones that I did was I got during that 4 months of hell, I started jogging for the first time in my life. So I literally went down to a local soccer field, one lap. Next day, two laps. Next day, three laps, four laps. And then I went out and started running along the river. So I got up to 6 kilometers, 5 times a week. So that's
moving
sort of
your body,
moving your body, moving your mind, just that one step, one foot in front of the other is as a metaphor for life is one of the most powerful and empowering things you can do for yourself on every level, whether it's, you know, health, your relationships, whatever the case may be.
Step by step, hey.
Yeah. And starts, I recommend not only starting small, but also setting the bar extremely low. So, for example,
Being mild with yourself, isn't that a big one?
Being mild, but also just being realistic. So, here's an example. What I recommend is, let's say you're not doing physical exercise at the moment, and physical exercise is one of the best preventatives for stress, but also releasing the built up stress in your mind and body. So, now, what we do as humans, we go, yeah, we got all fired up and I'm going to go for a run or I'm going to go cycling every day and I'm going to do it for an hour. No, forget all that. What I recommend you do is you set the bar extremely low. And this is, I'm talking ridiculously low, 1 minute per day.
Okay.
Now you say for 1 minute per day, I'm going to do whatever. I'm going to do something. And it could literally be jumping on the spot for 1 minute per day. So here's what's going to happen when you set the bar low. On the days when you're feeling good, when you're feeling strong, when you've got energy, you're going to finish that 1 minute and you're going to go, well, is that it? I can keep going. So you keep going and you get in the 5 minutes or the 10 minutes or the half an hour or the hour. However, where this little, let's say, strategy really works is on those down days where you're feeling tired or you're feeling like crap, you're in a trough in your life, you're feeling stressed, whatever the case may be, you're having relationship challenges, whatever. On those days, if you can have the thought, I only have to do 1 minute.
That's what works, yeah.
That's still a so even on the lowest
it's
day,
still a
you
win.
Can still get
That's
up
what you
and,
mean. Mm.
And you can literally walk around your house for 60 seconds. And then what happens? So what happens after you do that? You have the thought or feeling, I did it.
I did it, yes.
So then you start to reinforce that positive on a daily basis, as opposed to if you set the bar, I'm going to do half an hour a day and I'm going to get all this. It's the first day you don't do it, you're going to start beating yourself up. So therefore, you're now in a negative spiral as opposed to a positive, let's say, spiral where you're moving up. So that's why I recommend 1 minute per day on whatever you're doing, anything new, and keep the bar there literally every day for the rest of your life. Because whether you're 50, 70 or 20, you're still going to have days where you don't want to do anything. And look, you know, you're still human. So on some days, doing nothing is still fine. But then getting back, it's easier to get back starting on 1 minute the next day than it is to go, I've got to do half an hour again. So that's a good tip that I'd definitely recommend.
It's one out of your toolbox as well. Now, Matt, thank you. Anyone listening to you can hear your expertise and how you've come from huge stress to today to being the expert that you are. I just want to thank you so much for giving, so many. I think there's a lot of recognition in our conversation, a few tips, a few. So thank you for that. Is there anything you want to say to the audience just to finish off? Something personal, something special? Just 1 minute.
Yes.
You've got 1 minute.
Yes, absolutely. I would like to share something that I've found to be Literally life-changing. We're all human, and we're all going to go through peaks and troughs in our lives. And the depth of or the peaks of those peaks and troughs is going to vary, but depending on what you do on a daily basis. So my advice, and this is the one of the sort of the life sort of realization that I've had in my experience, two things kind of, let's say, fix everything: learning and improvement. So no matter whether you're at the peak of the peak in your life, if you then go and learn something or improve something, you're going to go to even greater heights.
Yes, I
And no
agree.
matter what depth of the trough that you're in within your life, if you go and learn something new and improve something, and it could be, again, this could be something so simple as adding in like an exercise regime or
Thanks.
starting knitting or something like that. But that would be my advice to just whenever you're feeling good or bad, go and try and learn something new and go and try to improve something. And that
Thanks,
way you're
Matt.
still going to be moving forward.
Wow. It's all about growth, isn't it? That's one of our most basic needs. So, thank you for all your tips and for your story. And I will come back to the audience just now after this little break. Thanks, Matt.
Right. Thanks, Danielle.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to each and every one of you. And this was really an eye-opener again around how panic attacks can feel, what it does to us, and how it takes the grass from under our feet. I really loved Matt's story, and I really thank him for sharing his vulnerability and honestly how devastating it was to go through this period of burnout, panic attack, and anxiety. And I do believe that his first and most important advice in this conversation, I think, was about the 22 times technique, the 22 times 11 technique, as he calls it, where we put down our negative beliefs, our negative thoughts, and put down 22 answers. And we do that for 11 days. So I really think it's worthwhile trying. As I said, it takes a bit of discipline. But there's a quote about how the pain of discipline is so much less than the pain of regret. And I really think that Matt was right. When the pain is so big, what is 11 days of your life to do this? It's really something small and really worth your while to try it out and see how it works for you. For anyone in our environment, please, as I said in the beginning, share this interview with anyone you know that is suffering from severe stress, severe anxiety, or panic attacks, even burnout. And as always, one of the most, let's say, the most important things that we can do in our life to take our health seriously is to go into self-awareness, self-reflection, because the more that you become aware and mindful of your own thoughts, your own feelings, your own actions, the bigger the change. He said, as a quote, to pay attention on your thoughts. And I really, really have to acknowledge that the recognizing, the acceptance of what we are thinking, feeling, and doing, looking at it and learning from it, improving it. That is the essence of what we talked about. The step by step, one foot after the other, taking action in your moving forward is such an important one. And I can only agree because when I was lying flat as well, I couldn't think of the day that I would work again, the day that I would be jogging again. I could only think one step forward was, for example, sit up for 5 minutes that day. So it can be anything. Like you, if you want to start jogging, like my Matt did, start jogging just a little bit, 1 minute. And then I did that with my bike. I remember when I was quite further down in my healing journey, I started to have a home trainer and I started with 1 minute on the home trainer. So I can really, really recognize myself in Matt's advice, in his story, in his tips and his insights. So whatever it is that you want to do, don't forget that Matt and myself are really advising you. If you go for help, things will turn around more quickly because doing it on your own, it is not necessary. We are the experts. You can go and contact me on daniela@danielsachs.com. You can go and contact Matt. Go to his website and contact Matt if you want to learn more techniques on how to manage stress, burnout, anxiety, etc. So it is no use in resisting your symptoms, in fighting against them. I learned that firsthand with my panic attack. Do not resist the panic attack. Go in it, accept it, ask for it. What is it wanting to tell you? So it's all little things like that, that an expert or someone who has experienced it firsthand themselves can really help you go through this more quickly. That is what the show is all about, is to actually give you tools, insights, stories, so that step by step, you can take action and really speed up your own healing process, your own self-awareness process and reflection process. And I trust we did that today with Matt's interview. For those of you who are listening on the radio, thank you so much. You can go to the website. You can listen on demand. For you, those of you listening to the podcast, well, I am so excited this year that we are really expanding through the podcast platforms. There are so many occasions and opportunities to listen to all our shows. If you want to go and listen on demand, feel free. It's all up to you, but you are responsible for taking action, for taking positive action, as Matt was explaining to you. So with all that about today, about the burnout, the stress, the anxiety, the panic attacks, I truly trust that you have learned something, that you have taken away something out of this. And that is the inspiration that I want to give you, the motivation that I want to give you every single week, week after week, step by step. So I thank Matt again for this beautiful conversation, and I will see you next week. Bye-bye for now.
From Stress to Authentic Success was presented by Danielle Sachs. Join Danielle at the same time next week here on UK Health Radio. And meanwhile, for more on how to thrive in business and everyday life by being true to yourself, go to daniellesachs.com.